great to know that God is faithful. Isn't that right? He will do what He said He would do. He is able to do what He said He would do. He's willing to do what He said He'd do. And you can count on it, He'll do what He said He would do. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, shake hands with one or two more people, and you can be seated. We are welcome those of you that are watching online. We thank you for joining us tonight. We know that you are following God where you are, and we appreciate you taking part in the service tonight. And we encourage you to receive right where you are, and we believe that God will minister to you too. Praise the Lord. It's Christmas season, isn't that right? And how many of you are starting to get a little bit of Christmas spirit? Isn't that right? How many of you excited about Christmas? If for no other reason, we can be excited because Jesus is here. Isn't that right? And I get excited thinking about Jesus and about, that first Christmas. How that manger scene where they had that, the Mary and Joseph, they did the best that they could with the situation that they had. There was no other room. They're in this inn, and they're in this manger scene where in a barn or in a cave someplace, depending on who you'd listen to. And they're there, and supposedly there's some cattle there, and I don't know. That's the pictures you see, and you got the lambs there and all that. It's exciting to see all that, to think what Jesus represents. Isn't that right? The shepherds out in the field, and how that such a miracle happened, how that God reached down and touched people's lives that were really not thought to be anybody. They're just shepherds out there taking care of the sheep, and yet God thought about them and how they came and how three wise men found Jesus and a little later and, came and worshiped him and brought him gifts of, gold, myrrh, and frankincense. And so, it's just wonderful to think about all of that. Somebody asked me, he said, what difference would it make if there were three wise women instead of three wise men? And they went on to say that, first of all, they would have gotten there quicker because they would have asked for directions. And second of all, they would have helped deliver the baby. Third, they would have cleaned the stable. Fourth, they would have made a casserole. And last but not least, they would have brought some practical gifts, that would help Mary, And so, I don't know if that's really true or not, but we do know this, that the Christmas season is intended to be a time of joy and peace and goodwill. And we also know this, that sometimes it isn't always that way. And I want to turn with, if you would, with me to a couple of scriptures. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I want you to remember the reason why Jesus came. The reason why Jesus came, and I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the power of the anointing of God that will help us in life. Jesus came. In verse Luke 4:18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And so we see that this verse right here, Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, started saying this, that he was anointed by the Spirit of God. And one of the things that I want you to notice is that at the end of the verse, it says that he's to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And then in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we read Peter verifying this in his preaching. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who was oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. There's two words in there that I want to pick out, the word anointing and the word oppressed. Two opposing forces that you see present in those two verses. And I want to look at those just briefly. First of all, the oppression of the enemy. And I'm going to be referring to some of the things that Dr. Sumrall said in regard to that, because he's far better scholar on this than what I am, and certainly than most of us. If you knew anything about Dr. Sumrall, he was an amazing man that traveled around the world, and he didn't take anything off of the devil. He put the devil in his place everywhere he went. But he said this, that the oppression of the enemy is far deeper and more involved than depression. A person can be depressed, but something that's even more stronger hold of the enemy is the oppression of the enemy. And the word oppressed is a Greek word that means to exercise dominion against. So a person that's oppressed is somebody that somehow the enemy has come in and has begun to exercise dominion over their lives, and they end up doing things that they wouldn't normally do, or say things that they normally wouldn't say, or they wonder, why in the world am I like this, or why are these conditions that I have to deal with? Brother Sumrall went on to say, to oppress anyone is to weigh him down with something he is not able to carry. The children of Israel were oppressed in Egypt. They were cruelly treated, beaten unmercifully, and crushed down until they couldn't carry their burdens any longer. And he said, went on to say that sometimes oppression comes through disease. We read the scripture how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed by the devil. So evidently some causes of disease and sickness and disease, not all, but some are caused by oppression from the enemy. Now, I think that all sickness and disease comes from the pit in some way. And that if you take the enemy out of the picture, sickness and disease along with sin would stop. As people would, born again people would follow God. And I think we could all attest to the fact that we go along here and we do the best we know how, and we're not telling anybody and we're not voting, but you know, all of a sudden something happens and we say something or do something and we wonder, why in the world would I do that? I'm a good Christian. But you know, the enemy comes along to try to influence or to oppress people, putting burdens on them that they cannot bear. Sometimes it comes through fear. Fear will oppress people and torment them and cause them to be hurt. The enemy loves to turn the screws down tight on people and make them do things that they wouldn't want to do and without some kind of help from the enemy. Dr. Sumrall went on to say this then, that Satan may use many means to try to destroy you by oppression. He may try to crush your spirit by having people you thought were your friends attack you viciously. How many of you have ever had a friend you thought was a friend and they ended up, man, I mean, what a devastating blow. He went on to say, he may seek to trample you through disaster and woes. How many of you have just gone through some tragedy or disaster or something, and I'm telling you, you did good to hold your head up for a while. And so he said he may try to overpower you with a great display of demonic power, which hurts you on all sides until you feel helpless against his cruel onslaught. He goes on, he says, he might weigh you down with an awesome sense of responsibility for all the people and actions in your family or community. In other words, he says, it's all your fault. If you don't do your part, these people all are going to go. How many of you ever, you know, you had that thought coming in? It just comes down on you. And it's like, if I don't do my part, if I mess up, the whole world's going to go to hell, you know, kind of thing. And then he finally says he might even burden you with the feeling that all your trouble and misfortune is punishment from God for some great sin. And I just want to tell you that if you're going through those kinds of things, you mark it down. That is not God trying to get a message to you. That's the enemy trying to work in your life, trying to move you, trying to crush you, burden you down, put you in a place where you don't function well, and you're not able to reach out, so to speak, and be a witness for Christ. God has called us to be witnesses for Him, but the enemy will do anything he can to shut that down, because he doesn't want the good news to be spread. And he wants to shut you down so you can't share the good news. And he wants to shut you down so that you can't do anything either. And so the oppression of the enemy is there. But we want to thank God, because God is not helpless. God is not wringing his hands because of the oppression of the enemy. He's not looking down and wondering, where, what can I do? This guy, this devil, this enemy of the people, that my enemy, has just been working overtime. He doesn't seem to give up. I wonder what I could do. I mean, is there anything? He's not having a big meeting in the sky trying to figure out how to confine the enemy so he can't oppress people anymore. God is not dismayed at the activity of the enemy. Friend, I want to tell you, he's got an answer for it. He sends the anointing of the Holy Spirit to break the yoke of oppression on people's lives and stop the work of the enemy. And so we want to look at that just for a few minutes. We acknowledge, first of all, that there is the oppression of the enemy. There is a problem. You understand? But we don't stop there. Look at your neighbor and say, don't stop there. But we want to go on and see what God says about that. And he said in these two verses that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. One of the things he does in all of that, that the anointing can do, is he can break the yoke of oppression off of people, and so that they can have what God says they can have, and they can rise up and be the person that God called them to be. But in order to have the anointing flowing and so forth, we want to explore this first question, and that is this: what is the anointing? Because you see, the anointing is kind of a mystery to most people. So what is the anointing? I remember as a young Christian, I heard preachers, if they prayed before they started, they would say, "Oh Lord, we thank you for the anointing upon me as I preach the word." And then I would begin to notice, I didn't know what that was, but I began to notice that if it was there, we had a good meeting, and if it was not there, it was not a good meeting. It was just a ho hum, can't you get done kind of meeting, you know, can't wait till you get done kind of thing, you know. And so I had a real hunger to know, what is the anointing? And I remember asking ministers, what is the anointing? And none of them came up with anything. They literally did not answer me. And so I began to do the only thing I knew to do. I went to the Bible. And I was working in the factory at the time and had to be at work at 7 in the morning. And so the only time that I could figure out when I had time to study was I'd get up at 5 o'clock and get my coffee cup ready. And I'd sit down with my Bible, and I had a Strong's Concordance or a Young's Concordance. I can't remember which it was. I think I got a Young's first because the salesman said that the Young's Concordance is for young Christians and the Strong's Concordance is for strong Christians. What a schmoozer. Anyway, so whatever one I had, I used it and I looked up every mention of the word anointing, anything, any form of that word. And I looked them all up. I read all of them. And I got to the point, and then I began to look at the Greek definition, and I came to this Greek. I thought, no, I'm going to check the Greek out. I bet the Greek will just have a revelation that's just going to be awesome. And I checked it out, and it's a Greek word, krio. And to my dismay, it meant a rubbing or smearing. And I thought, I'm looking for something spiritual. Rubbing or smearing? What's that got to do with the anointing? And I thought, that doesn't make any sense. And so I put that away and started reading the verses. I didn't know what else to do. You know, back then you didn't have cell phones. I know I don't look that old, but we didn't have cell phones. And so what happened was that we had books. We did it the old-fashioned way. We looked them up and looked at all the verses. And finally I came to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And then I noticed those words, for God was with him. And I thought to myself, now, evidently the anointing has something to do with God being here with us. I mean, you know, I'm trying to learn. And so I went and asked some preachers about that. One preacher in particular, I remember his reaction when I asked him, I said, does that mean God is with us when the anointing is here? And he looked at me kind of blank, and he shrugged his shoulders, and he said, sounds good to me. And so I went back to the Word. And I said, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. I mean, I am really trying to understand this, and I don't seem to be getting much of anywhere fast. All I got here is the definition that doesn't make any sense, a rubbing or a smearing, and God is with the Jesus who was anointed. That's all I know. And the Lord explained it to me this way. He said to me, do you remember what your mother did for you when you had colds and respiratory problems and sore throats and sniffles or anything like that? What did she do? And I said, well, she had one answer for all of it, called Vicks Vapor Rub. And the procedure, she had it down well. We had after dinner or supper at our house, we called it supper, but the procedure went like this. She would take a red bandana handkerchief and she'd put it on the wood stove. Now, we had central heating in our house. We had the wood stove sitting in the center of the house. And you know, if you wanted to be a little warmer temperature, you move closer to the stove. If you were too hot, you move towards the walls. You see, I mean, you had your own temperature control and everything. But she would take that bandana handkerchief and she'd lay it on top of the stove. And then she'd tell me, take your shirt off and take your t-shirt off. And then she'd start taking that Vicks Vapor Rub and she'd just rub and rub and rub and rub. And I'm thinking, my God, what's she trying to do? And you know, and so anyway, finally she gets done rubbing it and rubbing it and rubbing it. And then she reaches over and gets that bandana handkerchief. It's hot. It's been laying on the stove. And she folds that thing up and she slaps it on my chest. And it felt like that Vicks Vapor Rub just drove it clear through to the backbone. And I want to tell you something. The Lord explained it to me this way. He said, you were anointed with Vicks Vapor Rub. You were one with Vicks Vapor Rub. Where you were, Vicks Vapor Rub was with you. And whatever you did, you and Vicks Vapor Rub did it together. And he began to explain to me that the anointing is when God comes and he so becomes infused into your life that you become one and he is with you, and whatever you do it together. That anointing is there. He comes with power. He comes with might. He comes with strength. And that anointing is upon you and in you and through you. And it moves and helps you to do what God tells you to do. Amen. I said, I think I understand it now. Isn't God a good teacher? Amen. Took a country boy that was ignorant of the things of God and taught him. You know, there's several levels of ignorance. I mean, I was ignorant and knew it. Now, I've met some people that were ignorant and didn't know it. But I was ignorant and very conscious of it. There's a lot I still don't know. And so, Mark Twain said that every man is ignorant just in different areas. And so, you know, I knew that, and I'm so grateful to God that he brought me from where I was, knowing nothing. I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't even know God spoke to people. I didn't know that. I heard somebody say one time, a preacher, I was just out in the field talking to God, and I thought, now how weird can you get? Imagine you trying to talk to God. I didn't know prayer was talking to God. I didn't know that. I didn't know anything. I knew enough to come in for dinner. And that was about it. I knew when it was time to get up and you better get to the barn and milk cows. I knew that much too. So the anointing is God one with us. God with us in power and might, and that moving through us and helping us to move and do things that we couldn't do otherwise. And so looking at this verse now, this verse, chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. You ought to underline a couple words here. You ought to underline the word power. You ought to underline the word doing good, and you ought to underline healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Three things that the anointing will accomplish in your life is he will bring the power of God into play, into manifestation. That anointing, moving in your life causes the power of God to be in action in your life. And then he says he will, doing good. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you have ever done something that was beyond what you normally would do, and something, you know, how many of you amazed yourself and waved somebody through at the four-way stop instead of trying to race through first, you know, and you wonder, what in the world's the matter with me? You know, well, you're doing good. And evidently there was a moment when the anointing, you allowed the anointing of God to help you a little bit. Isn't that right? And you know, you can pick any scene that you want. But you know, God will help you do good through the anointing, will help you to do good. And so somebody comes along and they're hurting. They're going through some tough times, and all of a sudden you reach out to them in a way, and you think of a way that you can minister to them, and you think to myself, man, God, you must have come up with that idea. I'm not smart enough to come up with that. I wouldn't have known that would work, that would help them. How many of you have ever made a phone call or sent a text? Or I sent a text the other night. I I came across a program on television, and I was blessed by it. It's a friend of mine. And so when he got done, it was just amazing. There was an anointing in the living room where I was at. So I sent him a text. And I said, your program, I just got done watching your program. There's a tangible anointing in the living room where I'm at. I just want to thank you that you're a blessing. Yeah, you're a blessing. He sent me back a text. And you know, it doesn't matter who you are. Sometimes they got to hear something. And he said, your text really meant a lot at the end of the day I had. Isn't that something? And I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter how much, you know, don't ever think that you're unimportant and everybody else is more important than you, because God can use you to touch somebody's life. And God will anoint you to do good, to do a good thing. And then he says, the anointing will bring healing to those who are oppressed of the devil. And I want to tell you something. It makes me so mad when I see people oppressed by the devil. I just, you know, just makes me, in the country, we used to have this expression, spitting mad. That didn't mean you spit on somebody. It just means you're mad enough to just, I don't know, you didn't have words for it. That meant you're really mad. Anyway, and it just makes me mad when I see people that are bowed under the load of oppression that the enemy wants to put on people. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, went about relieving people from the oppression of the enemy, from fear and from sickness and from disease and from other kinds of things. You know, he even went so far as to tell the people they didn't have to be under the load of man-made religion. The enemy can use man-made religion to oppress people, making them do things that has nothing to do with their salvation or anything. Doesn't even make them better Christians. Makes them, you know, makes them just go through some kind of gymnastics that the enemy thinks of. And it doesn't make you a better Christian. It doesn't make you, as a matter of fact, it doesn't help you get further in life or anything. It's just stuff. And the enemy loves to load people down like that and think they're doing good things and so forth. And so I'm just encouraging you tonight that as we look at the anointing of God coming in connection to or intersecting with the oppression of the enemy, I'm going to ask you this real deep, profound, theological question. When the anointing of God comes across, meets with, and intersects with the oppression of the enemy, who's going to win in that battle? I'm kind of weak on that. But, you know, how many of you know that if you don't know how to deal with the anointing and how to minister in the anointing and how God wants to use you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you right now. Because God wants to use you. He wants you to know how to understand how to flow with the anointing. How you and God can move together to get this thing done. To get this taken care of. You know, when you find people like that, I'm telling you, the oppression has to go. People live with oppression because they don't know how to get it out. You know what I'm saying? And I feel so bad for people sometimes, especially around Christmas time. You see people that are under loads of things, burdens of things, and you know, it's just the enemy trying to work in their life and do bad things to them. And I just want to tell you tonight, the anointing of God can break that. The Isaiah 10:27, there's a phrase at the end says, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. There, the rest of the verse is there, but the last part, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Evidently, it takes the anointing of God. You yourself cannot break oppression. the oppression of the enemy, the works of the enemy. You yourself are not a match against the works of the enemy and the things that he would want to do to in your life. But you and God together are a winning team. Greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. Amen. And you're going to have to understand, you're going to have to start building your consciousness and building a mentality that you and God wants to work with you. How many of you believe God wants to work in your life? How many of you believe God wants to work with you and use you? And God wants to work through you. How many of you believe you could, with God's help, you could be a blessing to those around you? Amen. Well, you know, those are the kind of people God's looking for. And so he comes, and he wants to be there. Brother Sumrall said this. He said, exercise your Christian dominion over the devil's power. You can do this through faith and prayer and action. And really, when you look at it, start studying your Bible, you'll find out that faith and prayer and acting on the word is what it takes to release the anointing of God, to release the ability of God into people's into the situation, into people's lives. And so we want to just encourage you tonight. Believe that God will use you. If he can use a boy from the country that didn't know anything, you know what I'm saying? If he can use somebody like that, he can use you too. Isn't that right? And so I'm just encouraging you tonight. You don't have to live under the oppression of the enemy. You don't have to live under burdens anymore. You don't have to put up with the devil's stuff anymore. You know, would you stand to your feet? I just sense that God wants people to be free. People to be free. Some of you, I could tell by the looks in your eyes that you weren't really listening to me, because some of the things I said triggered thoughts about your own life and things you're dealing with and oppression of the enemy, how he's exercised that over you. And I'm going to tell you this tonight, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And I'm not saying that braggadociously. I'm just telling you that anything that would come tonight to help you would be God. Amen. Could be somebody else. It could be brother Tad or Brother Bill or somebody else, Pastor Hagen or whatever. But you know, if there's going to be any help for you, you just mark it down that you got to get in contact with the anointing of God. Let that anointing minister to you and break that yoke off of you. And some of you are oppressed by fear. Some of you have been oppressed with sickness and disease. And some of you have been oppressed in other ways and so forth. And I don't know how to do it other than just tell you to come. We'll pray for you. If you find yourself in that situation tonight, just get out of your seat and come. Don't let the devil mess your life up anymore. Just come on down and we'll pray for you tonight, right now. Anybody at all. You just come, we'll wait for you, and this is your opportunity to come, and we will pray for you and believe with you for the enemies, and so don't be ashamed if you're going through something and you need some help, because that's what the body of Christ is for. That's what the body of Christ is for, is to help one another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just come. If you need to come, then you come. And we'll wait for you. We're not in a hurry. But you come, and we're going to believe God with you tonight. Hallelujah. Just come right there. We can do both sides. And if you want to come, come now. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up, those of you that are in the front here. If you can slip at least one hand up. Slip one hand up. Doesn't have to do it very far. You know, I found out a long time ago, lifting a hand doesn't necessarily mean lifting the whole arm. You know what I'm saying? You can lift a hand up. One little motion to let God know that you're expecting something from him tonight. And we're going to just We're going to believe God with you tonight for His that anointing. I want you to hear these verses again. I'm going to read these verses again to you so that you are ready. I want you to know where this is coming from. It says in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And then in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Let me say it to you this way. If Jesus was here tonight, He would minister to you in person with the anointing. He's not here in person tonight, but we have Him here in that mighty name of Jesus. And so we're going to pray in the name of Jesus and let that anointing flow upon your lives and cause that anointing to be broke in your life. The Bible says that the anointing, that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and worship God as we get ready to minister to people. We just want to worship You, Lord. We want to focus on You. Sing a little bit. Oh, we worship You, Lord, and we thank You now. Let that. We thank You, Father, for Your anointing being here tonight, the anointing of the Spirit of God being upon this place in Jesus' name. We thank You for that anointing flowing in Jesus' name. We thank You for that anointing. We know that anointing is here. We know that You're doing a mighty work in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. You've been waiting a while for this moment, for the anointing to set you free. In the name of Jesus. In the name. Anointing. Free. So you're going to have to grab hold of it. Just take it. Take that anointing. Free. In Jesus' name. Free. Every yoke broken in Jesus' name. Free in Jesus' name. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank You for it, Lord.
That anointing is in this place. The anointing ministering to people. Nothing like the anointing. Set people free. 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 Jesus' name. Yep, 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 yep.
The Holy Ghost.
Free.
Fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost.
The anointing to set you free. I can see it.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall.
Oh, we worship You, Lord. We magnify the name of the Lord. Thank You, Father, for the anointing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Free. Free. Yep, there it is. Free. 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 Yes, free. Free indeed. In Jesus' name.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me.
Free.
Anointing.
Free. Now now free. No more. No more oppression of the enemy. Free. Free. Free.
Call on me.
Yep, yep. Just let that minister to you right now.
Fall on me.
Thank you, Lord.
Let the power,
the anointing flowing.
Holy
in Jesus'
Ghost
name.
Fall on me.
Yep, yep, there you go. That anointing.
Let the power of,
I don't know what this means.
Holy Ghost.
But I want you to hear this. Because I hear it from the Spirit of God. You're worth more than you think you are. In the name of Jesus, be free from every oppression of the enemy. In Jesus' name. Free. 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 Totally free. In Jesus' name. Free. Yep, 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 yep. Free. In the name of Jesus. Free.
Your anointing, yes, it destroys the yokes.
The anointing, the anointing,
the anointing,
the anointing
that destroys the yokes.
Yep. Free in Jesus' name. Let that anointing
fall.
Yep, yep. Free in Jesus' name.
Won't you fall?
Free from every oppression. In the name of Jesus, I bind that fear in the name of Jesus. It shall not come back in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands up to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now watch this. Free. Free. Totally free. Totally free. In Jesus' name. Yep, it's that anointing's all over you.
Let it fall on me.
Let that anointing minister to you.
Oh, yeah.
You're free from the oppression of the enemy. In Jesus' name.
Let it fall on me.
In Jesus' name. Are we ready?
Oh, the anointing.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, the anointing.
You're free. Free. Now. In Jesus' name. Free. Yep, free. No more oppression of the enemy. In Jesus' name, I break that yoke of oppression by the power of the anointing of God. In Jesus' name. No more. No more. No more. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Free. 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 In Jesus' name. Free. Free, you're free. Do you believe the word? The word. The word. Are you a Christian? Saved? You know, the blood of Jesus makes you free. The anointing makes you free. Believing the truth makes you free. Don't let the lie of the enemy keep you in bondage. In Jesus' name. Free. In Jesus' name. Whatever's been bothering you is outside of you, not in you. And he's trying to get in, but we're smarter than that. We're not letting him in. Just in the name of Jesus. Amen? All right. All right. All right.
Yoke destroying, burden removing, and all.
Oh, let's worship the Lord.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's worship the Lord.
Oh, let it fall.
Worship the Lord.
Oh, we worship you, Lord. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing.
Free.
Thank you for the anointing.
Free. In Jesus' name. Free. I said free.
Jesus Christ.
Free. In Jesus' name.
I'm free.
Free from every oppression of the enemy. I said free. In Jesus' name.
Oh God,
thank you, Jesus. free. I command you, you're free in Jesus' name. Yeah, free, free. Free in Jesus. Freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody lift your hand up and begin to thank God.
Thank you, Lord.
Begin to praise.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. You're free.
We thank you,
you're free.
Lord. We're free.
Are you free? Yes, thank you, Jesus. Free.
Free.
Free. Free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing something.
Oh, let the power
worship.
Let the power of
He doesn't have control over it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we've got prayer teams coming. If you have needs for something else, they're going to be coming to pray with you. First time connection team, if you'll find a first time guest and take them to get that wonderful gift that's been prepared for you. We want to say thank you for coming. We hope it was a blessing to you. And believe that you are helped in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many of you are not going to let the enemy run over you? Not going to let the enemy run over you. Ha-ha-ha. Somebody ought to laugh at the devil just a little bit. Ha-ha-ha. His hold is broken over me. Hallelujah. He thought he had me. But Jesus came. The anointing is here. Glory to God. And he set me free. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Makes me spitting mad when I see people oppressed of the devil, but boy, it sure makes me happy when I see him set free. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, if you're a man, then you come over here and these guys will pray with you. If you're a lady, then you come over and pray with these ladies and they'll pray with you. And if you need something, and don't forget all the announcements and sign-ups out there and everything. And don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Pastor Hagin will be here, and he's going to be ministering. And so we want to encourage you to come and get you a midweek power boost at the Hour of Power. Amen. Amen. Well, find some people and let them know that you appreciate them, and you're dismissed. God bless you.